Blog Talk Radio.
Another great show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Think, Believe, and Manifest Show with author, master trainer, and certified dream coach, Constance Arnold. Join us every week as we bring you life-changing information that will empower your life. And here's Constance.
Well, hello there, everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And I am Constance Arnold, your host for the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show. And, of course, you know that I'm coming to you live with lots of love and just a little southern flavor from beautiful, hot, but a little rainy Atlanta, Georgia. How are you doing today? I pray that wherever you are all over the world that you are creating for yourself a beautiful and abundant day. Well, thank you so much for joining me. Have you had a great week? I pray that you have. Have you been changing your thinking and believing? I know that I certainly have. Well, I had a great week last week. I traveled last week and had an opportunity to train and coach, and it was really a great experience for me. And even though I was traveling, I made a decision. I made a conscious decision because, as you know, everything begins with a decision that I was going to create for myself a wonderful and exciting time wherever I was. And I just believe for miracles and great things happen for me. And I just want to thank you so much for joining me. I want to read quickly an email that I received from one of my listeners. It said, "Hello, Constance. I'm writing to thank you so much for your show. I listen to it every week. I have learned so much about my thinking and believing, haven't we all? I realize that my own thinking and my own believing and my own core belief system have been holding me back, and I am in the process of changing that. I remember one show you said that whatever you will not acknowledge will not change. I wrote that statement down, and I put it on my wall so that I can see it every day. Sometimes I listen to the same show 7 or 8 times a week until it gets deep into my subconscious. I also share the show with some of my friends, many of whom are having a difficult time. So keep those great guests coming. P.S. I love the way you are vulnerable about your own personal life. God bless you." Well, thank you so much for that encouraging email. You know, every time we have a guest coming on, we're here to bring you information that's going to be changing your life. I just want to thank you for that email. Also, I want to share with you about the Law of Attraction Cruise. How many of you have been thinking about a cruise, or you possibly been talking about a cruise, or you've been wanting to go on a cruise? And I've been on so many wonderful cruises, and it's such a wonderful experience. And the Law of Attraction Radio Network is sponsoring a cruise to transformation. Doesn't that sound wonderful? You can cruise and meet people of the same spirit. You can just have lots of fun. I think they're going to have 10 workshops. And that date is November the 6th through the 9th, and it's going to be leaving San Diego to Ensenada, Mexico, and the cost is only $550 per person. We have payment plans, so if you want more information, just go to loaradionetwork.com. Get together with some of your friends. It will be a great transforming experience for you. Well, before I bring on my guest today, I just want to tell you about my lineup for August. I'm so excited. We have great guests in store for you. Next Sunday, we have Jonathan Mansky. He's the author of The Law of Attraction Made Simple. We have Ellen Wood, the author of The Secret Method for Growing Younger, How to Utilize the Law of Attraction to Stay Younger. We have Harry Carpenter, author of The Genie Within, and we're having back Antonio Thornton. He is the founder of the largest Law of Attraction meetup group in the world, and we had such a great response with Antonio, we had to have him come back again. So those are some of the outstanding guests that we have lined up for you. Make sure that you tune in every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Well, let me bring on my guest today. I'm so excited about her. Her name is Talaine Medaner, and Talaine is the author of Coach Yourself to Success and also the author of The Secrets of the Law of Attraction, The Effortless Way to Get the Relationship You Want. Doesn't that sound exciting? She is a master coach, and her book, Coach Yourself to Success, has been reprinted in 8 languages and is an international bestseller. She is the mother of 2. She's married and currently living in the UK, but she's visiting in the US this week. Talaine, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Well, thank you, Constance. I'm really thrilled to be here.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks. I'm having a great time here. And I'm in Manitowoc, actually, with my mother.
Okay.
She's looking after the girls. And I just finished finished the first draft for my 3rd book. So.
Can you tell us the name of your 3rd book, or is it a secret?
It's a little bit of a secret.
Okay.
But I'll tell you what it's about. It's about career success and career transition.
Okay.
So it's actually my publishers, McGraw-Hill, asked me to do a book on career change. So I have a feeling there's a big demand for that given the recession here in the U.S. So that's
right.
What's coming up this spring.
Whoa, congratulations. Well, you have such an interesting life, and you have 2 books, but we're going to focus in today on The Secret Laws of Attraction, The Effortless Way to Get the Relationship You Want. And when I read your book earlier this week, I thought about how, you know, having love in your life, Talaine, is just as important as the air we breathe. I mean, people are searching for love. They're looking on websites. They're desirous of that special relationship. And to be honest, we were created by God to be in great relationships. So I was so glad when I received your book. So I want you to share with our listeners your story, your journey about how you effortlessly attracted the love of your life. And then we're going to get into your book.
Well, I actually had a rather checkered past in terms of my love life. So I was 37 years old, and I had been, well, I had been through quite a few men in my life. I also had good, very loyal relationships, but they'd only last for a year or 2 or sometimes 3. I think the longest relationship I had lasted 4 years. And I kept, you know, all the guys were really great. Maybe there was one guy who was a bit dubious, but, you know, pretty much good guys. And I would just keep going out with one guy after the other and never seemed to be getting married. And yet I really wanted to get married and have a family and have children. And I was 37 years old and still single after going through a number of relationships. And, you know, I couldn't figure out what was going on with why couldn't I seem to find the right guy to marry. And if I did fall in love with some guy and was head over heels and thinking that I was going to love him, then I found out that he didn't want to marry me.
Oh.
I was just devastated when I thought this man that I finally had found was going to be the one for me. And sure enough, he had no intention of marrying me. In fact, when I get I even went out to, at one point I was living in New York City before I moved to England, and I bought a house out in the Catskill Mountains, and I bought this big old 5-bedroom house on 3 acres of land, thinking this would be the big family home.
Right.
And when I broke up with him, finally realizing he didn't want to marry me, I was clearing out his stuff, and he didn't even have a toothbrush in the house.
What?
So I realized, yeah, it was dawning on me that he actually had no intention of actually being there with me anyway. So talk about how you can be blind to what's going on.
Right.
And it really is true. So I've had quite a history, a dating history, and just couldn't figure out, well, what is it that I... Why is it I'm an attractive woman, I'm a successful woman, I had my own coaching business, but what was going on? And what I realized is that my unmet needs, my needs were actually driving me. I kind of have contradictory needs, but were helping me choose guys that at some level weren't available.
Okay.
So to my two of my primary needs, one is to be cherished, And I would go out with guys who are great at cherishing. Now, for me, cherishing means, you know, chocolates, flowers, take me out to dinner, wine me, dine me, open the car doors, the whole nine yards, that, you know, that kind of thing. I can't have
Absolutely.
Too much of that. So, you know, for other people, cherishing might be something different, you know, like a tender little sweet whisper, something in my ear or something like that. But not for me. I like the whole red carpet. And so these guys were great at doing that. But the other thing, for some reason, they weren't available. Either, you know, because they had were just been separated from somebody and were going through a divorce, or because emotionally they weren't available. For whatever reason, maybe one guy was a different religion from me. He was Jewish, and I'm not Jewish, and he would expect me to convert to Judaism and raise the children under a Jewish faith, which is great if you're up for that, but I wasn't. So,
right.
You know, so again, not quite available. And I was looking at the other need that was operating there, was my need for independence. Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, I was getting both of my needs beautifully fulfilled in these relationships because I would get my cherishing, and then on the other hand, I also got to stay independent because these guys weren't ultimately going to marry me.
Mm-hmm.
And so once I realized what was going on, I looked at my needs and started getting those fulfilled in other ways, healthy ways, outside of my relationships, by asking my friends and family and my mother, everybody else, to cherish me. So they didn't need the guy to cherish me so much.
I understand.
And when that happens, you suddenly become a lot more attractive on an emotional level. Because when you don't need something, you're much more likely to attract it.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to have you to expound on that later. So how did you
yeah.
meet your husband?
Well, I actually met him when I was giving a seminar in London. I was leading a 3-day coaching skills seminar in London, and I brought my mother along, and he showed up to attend the seminar and sat right next to my mother.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. She's thought, oh, he's a nice guy. And she brought him up to introduce me. And, of course, I thought nothing of it because everybody wants to talk to the speaker after the event. So I didn't
Absolutely.
Think it was any big deal. And, you know, no sparks flying or anything like that. But I did take note that after the seminar, he was the only one who offered to buy my mother and I a drink. And I thought, well, what a gentleman. See, that ding, ding points for cherishing
uh-huh.
right there. So, you know, that sort of attentive, thoughtful, and he is. And then, you know, I never thought anything else would happen, but then we ended up spending the night at the same B&B out in the countryside because my mom wanted to see the English countryside. So another coach there said, well, come and spend the night at our B&B. And Paul, who ended up being my husband, was spending the night there too. Funny enough that he had introduced me to his business partner, who was a woman, and he said, this is my partner. And so, of course, you never know when somebody says my partner, you know, what that actually meant.
What does that mean?
I assumed he was with her, yeah. I thought he was with this other woman because she's one of those touchy-feely types and, you know, touching everybody. So I thought, well, maybe they must be together. So, again, I didn't think anything would come of that. And then, ultimately, the woman who we were staying at, who ran the B&B, was sort of a matchmaker at heart. And
uh-huh.
if it weren't for her forcing Paul to actually, she called him up and said, don't you want to take Tulane out in London?
Mm-hmm.
then immediately, before he had a chance to answer, she just put me on the line, and then there was this dead silence. And I thought, oh, no. But he said yes, because he was absolutely forced to. And wait a second, when I said, well, you know, it's my mom's last day in London. Is it okay if she comes with us, too? And he's, of course, what's he going to say? No, she can't come. So,
wow.
Yes, my very first chaperone date at the age of 37.
Oh, how sweet. That's quite
yes.
remarkable. How interesting.
So we ended up, you know, finally. And now we got married, and at 39 I had my first girl, and at 41 I had my second girl.
Oh, yes. And you live in the U.K., right?
And we live in the U.K. because
right.
he's English.
Oh, how interesting. Well, I want you to share the effortless way to get the relationship that you want. And the first question that I have for you is, should a person be looking for love?
Absolutely be looking for love. You know, it's easy when you're 20 or something and you're in school or university and you're around a lot of young single people. You don't have to look very hard to bump into some guys. But what's happening now is that we're getting older when we're getting married. People are getting, you know, I was, 37, and that's not so old anymore. Lots of people are married later because they're starting their careers. So as this whole trend is shifting where people used to always get married in their 20s, now people are getting married in their 30s, even pushing on up. So we've pushed things back, and because of that, there's a consequence. You do actually need to be out there looking, because you're not, unless you're in an environment where you're surrounded by a lot of eligible people, whether they're men or women, but you need to be around people who are eligible and marriage worthy. So when we're in school, we're surrounded by a bunch of people who are almost all, you know, candidates for relationships.
Right.
But as we get older, obviously people get married, and so there's fewer and fewer. And our jobs, some jobs are kind of isolating. You may not have contact with people who are people that you could marry. So, you know, and your social circle tends to be limited to the same old friends.
It does.
Which is great, but eventually you'll have met every eligible man that all of your friends know, or woman, if you're looking for a woman, and you'll run out of candidates. And after you've gone on enough blind dates and your friends have tried to set you up with everybody and their brother, then that's it. You've run out of your social network. So you really do need to be out there, you know, online dating, doing something, going to places where you can get exposure to eligible candidates for marriage.
Okay.
Because if you don't get exposure, no matter how attractive you are, if you're hiding in a closet, how are they going to find you?
Absolutely. Share a little bit about the secret to irresistible attraction. What does that mean?
Well, the key is, this is the big key. We all know that neediness is repellent. We've bumped into somebody at a party and we couldn't wait to get away from them, make up any excuse. I've got to go get a drink. Let me go into the
right.
bathroom. We'll do anything to get away from somebody if they're needy. But what we don't realize is that all human beings have personal and emotional needs. All of us do. It's part of being human. So in a sense, we all have these needs. Now, neediness is when those needs are not fulfilled. So, but if you don't know what your top four personal and emotional needs are, you're probably going to be needy, even if you don't realize it.
Well,
if you don't know what your needs are, how can you go about getting them fulfilled?
That's right. I know you shared in your book, you said if you have unfulfilled needs, you can't be irresistible attractive no matter how good-looking you are or how much money you have. And you shared about a very well-known guy who everybody in the whole world knows, who's very wealthy, but he was very needy and ended up getting divorced.
What's his name? Married to Jane Fonda.
Uh-huh.
Ted Turner, married to Jane Fonda. And Jane, I was reading an interview from her, and she said that he was just too needy. I mean, here he was, a good-looking fellow.
Right.
You know, older, you know, but and appropriately matched, except that she just couldn't deal with all those needs. So even if you've got bucket loads of money, I mean, just about, you know, good heavens, you know, he's currently got enough money, power, influence, but even with that, he still has unfulfilled emotional needs. And the problem with being around in a relationship, if you're with somebody and they're the only person fulfilling your needs, that gets to be a real drag.
Right.
I want you to
share with our listeners, how can we find out or identify what our emotional needs are?
Well, there's a really simple way to do that. And
Okay. Basically,
the old way of doing it was to look at a list of needs and pick yours out. But I found that if you did that, people would cheat. And they'd say, well, I like this need and I don't like that need.
Uh-huh.
And usually it's the need they don't like that's one of theirs. So what I've done is I've created a quiz that you can take, and it takes about 20 minutes. It's called the Emotional Index Quiz, and it's online at lifecoach.com, and it's free, so you can go there. And it's also in the book, The Secret Laws of Attraction. So you can get it in the book or online, and it's free. And you take that quiz, and it will tell you what your top four needs are. So just answer it honestly. Don't spend too much time thinking about it. A lot of the questions probably won't apply to you, and that's fine. Just skip over them and just wait till you find a question that applies to you, and then just pick the need that you think is yours. And that will help you spot out pretty quickly in 20 minutes without too much agony what your top four needs are.
And so give me an example of a couple of those questions in that quiz.
Well, like one of the questions would be if you're let's say if you're at a party and you're with a group of people and some people start to argue with each other, would your tendency be to walk away? And then why would that be? Is that because you have a need for peace and balance? If you would do that, then why would you do that? What need is there? And then you could pick the need that you want. So there's a little example of the kinds of questions. The questions are sneaky because you can't really tell necessarily when you're doing this what the answers are going to end up being. So it's not like some of those Cosmo quizzes where you can take and you can kind of cheat because you know what the answer they're looking for is. On this one, there's no way to get it wrong because there's no need that's right or wrong. Any unfulfilled need is going to be unattractive. And a fulfilled need, one that you have fulfilled. So if you're getting cherished, if you're getting appreciated, if you're getting balance in your life, if you have the need to be heard and you're feeling heard in your life, if those are fulfilled, they won't show up as a negative quality. The negative side of them won't show up.
Well,
they basically disappear.
Well,
and that's what makes you attractive.
I know. I'm looking at some of your needs: accepted and liked, clarity, heard and communicated, independent, peace and balance, recognized, responsible. So these are all needs touched. So these are all needs that people need to identify. And once they do, you said that there are top four needs. These are the key things.
Right, there's hundreds. There's hundreds of different needs.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've done is narrowed it down to the most common ones. So occasionally I get an email from somebody saying, my need's not on here. I just had a woman who said, I have a need for people not to mess with my stuff.
Okay.
If you don't go into her closet and borrow a shirt or anything like that. She would not like that. So she has that need. Now, that is not a very common need. Some people have that, but it's not one of the top 21 needs. So what I've done is picked the most common needs because there's hundreds, and then narrowed them down so that these are the most common. So it may be, there's a rarely, yours might not show up on there, but for most people this will.
And so after you identify your need, what do you need to do next? Say, these are my top four needs. What does a person need to do?
Once you've identified your top four needs, and you could do that with a quiz, the next step is to get them fulfilled in healthy ways, because an unmet need will tend to drive your life, just like my unmet needs were having me choose men who weren't available. And yet what I really wanted was to get married and have children. So a man who was available and able to commit to marriage was what I really wanted. So, but your needs are sneaky, and they will run your life and possibly even ruin your life if you don't know what they are. So it's very important to figure out what they are, and then the second step is getting them fulfilled. And to do that, that's the hard part. This is the part that people always have trouble with, because it's not easy to ask somebody to fulfill our needs, and that's pretty much what we have to do. There's a two-step process. First is to put in place your boundaries, and boundaries are just the things that people can't do to you or around you anymore. So, like, people can't interrupt me. That would be a good one if you have the need to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
So if you allow people to interrupt you and yet you have the need to be heard, you might feel like your need is never getting met, that people are constantly interrupting you and not listening to you. So you can see, without the boundary, people can't interrupt me, it would be very hard for you to fulfill the need to be heard or listened to. So they go hand in hand. So a lot of times, the first thing you have to do is just set in place the boundaries that would protect you. So for example, for me, with my need to be cherished, if I let people criticize me, if I accepted unsolicited criticism from people, that would make me feel very uncherished. I wouldn't feel very loved or cherished.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So I have the boundary placed. People can't criticize me. If I ask you for some feedback, that's different, but people just can't criticize me and start spouting out their criticisms.
And so basically you identify what your needs are, and then you get those needs met so that you will be whole, so that you will be attractive, and so that you will be fulfilled.
Exactly.
And so that means that when you do meet someone, you are meeting them really on a very high level of wholeness.
That's actually a really good point, Constance.
Well, thank you. Well, I like it when you said if you don't need it, you are more likely to attract it, because I've heard people say, I wasn't even thinking about a relationship, and when I stopped thinking about it, then that's when I met someone. Have you heard that before?
Absolutely. When you're totally happy with your life. So once you've got your boundaries in place and then you start asking people to fulfill your needs, and don't ask your boyfriend, your partner, ask anybody but your partner, your spouse. This works for married people too. Don't ask anybody. Try to not to, because we put too much pressure. We have this unspoken belief that if he loved me, he would do this, that, and the other thing. And yet we won't tell him what we want him to do specifically.
Right, right. And no one person can meet all your
readers.
Needs. Right. No one person can meet all of your needs. And
no
so
one,
with
yeah.
So with you, you decided to go to your friends and say, I need for you to meet my need in this area, go to your family. Is that what you did in order to bring about wholeness? Did you go to counseling or coaching or anything like that to help once you identified the needs?
Yep, whatever it takes to get that need fulfilled, whether you need to ask your friends, ask your family, ask colleagues to do it in an appropriate way. Your boss can do it. Again, be appropriate how you ask it. Like, for example, to be cherished. I'm probably not going to ask my boss to cherish me, but I might ask my boss to tell me what he likes about my work.
Uh-huh.
So, or something like that. So you could get it in a more subtle way. If you have the need for independence and you're working with a micromanaging boss, you might want to say something like, I do my best work when I'm given a lot of free rein. How about if you give me the project and then I'll report you back to you every week with what I'm doing? So, you know, you could ask for your, get these needs met from all sorts of people other than the love of your life. And what happens then is, it'll either recreate the love that you experienced in the beginning of your relationship, because when we don't have to fulfill somebody's needs, suddenly we want to. So you can, if you're in an existing relationship, I had one client who has been living with her boyfriend for years, and she just thought, well, Talaine, how am I ever going to get him to pop the question? And I said, well, don't ask him first. You know, the man's got to be the man. Let him think to you. But the key is she had to change her energy and not need him to ask. So what she did, she went through this needs exercise, and one of her needs was to be appreciated. She didn't ask her boyfriend to do it. Instead, she asked her boss, her colleagues, her father, her friends. They all wrote letters, or they called her once a week and said one thing they really appreciated about her or their friendship with her. And after 8 weeks of that, you do it for about 8 weeks, you suddenly feel like the need just disappears.
It does.
It feels wonderful.
And you know, when you're really loving yourself at a deep level and you appreciating yourself, that sort of permeates your whole being and it emanates from you, and people can feel that.
Yep. Oh, they sense it. It's all at a very, you know, sort of a sensing level, subconscious level. And sure enough, guess what happened?
He asked her to marry him. That's great.
Yes, because she never brought it up. She just went about getting her needs met from everybody else. And he sensed that she didn't need him so much. She still loved him, but not in a needy way. She didn't need anything from him. And, of course, that makes you very attractive.
Right, it does.
And he popped the question, and they're happily married.
Wow. So how?
And guess what? She got a bonus and a promotion at work.
Did she?
Mm-hmm. Because her boss was starting to think about all the responsibilities in writing this letter of what he thought she was good at work, and started to appreciate her more. And as a result, he realized she was a more valuable employee than he had thought.
Ah, so it boils down to valuing and loving and caring for yourself. So how are men and women different when it comes to identifying and meeting each other's needs?
Well, men are more usually... men are better at asking for what they need. They're a little more direct and say, here, do this, do that, or, you know, they're a little more used to that than women, but not always. The thing is, we have this myth that men have different needs than women. Mm-hmm. So, for example, some women don't like it that they might have the need to be in control. And that is actually the needs in themselves, like the need to control is not a male need. It can be male or female. Women have that need and men have that need. It's not that more men have that need than women. So it's not the needs themselves don't choose a man or a woman to attach themselves to. The need to be adored, for example. One of my clients is this big, hulky, huge, gorgeous, handsome, 6-foot-tall guy, and he has the need to be adored.
Hmm.
And now that's very hard for a man to admit because it doesn't sound like a manly sort of thing.
It doesn't.
No. And here's how it works. He's now married, and thankfully he married a coach. And she just said, you know, it's really odd because he wants me to say when he comes home and he's done something really good at work, he doesn't want me to say, hey, great job, honey. You did a really good job. I'm proud of you. That doesn't do it for him. What does it for him is if she says, honey, I adore you.
Isn't that
That's the words he wants to hear. So even guys, big, handsome, hulking guys, might have the need to be adored. So our needs, and a woman, a little teeny tiny woman, might have the need to be in control. So it doesn't matter, actually, if the needs are not inherently sexist. You can have the need to be controlled and be a woman, and you could have the need to be adored and be a man. And men tend to, well, it's hard for a man, for example, to ask somebody to meet their need to be adored or to even admit that that's a need for them.
Right.
Because culturally, we don't allow our men to have needs. We don't want our men to have needs.
because they're supposed to be having it all together and meeting all of our needs.
That's right. Fine if they meet our needs. Well, let them have the need to be controlled, the need to be right, and the need to be loved, because we want to love them too.
Right, right.
But that's about it. Other than that, we don't let men have any needs.
So after you identify your needs and you get your needs met, and, you know, you're loving and valuing yourself, would you say that most people attract true love in their lives?
Yes, absolutely. Because you're going to be in such a great place. And here's the thing. The next step after this is to go one step further, and that is to start doing the things that you absolutely love to do. And so this is the part. The first part is about getting your needs met. This is in the book, The Secret Laws of Attraction. We focus on getting those needs met, because if you don't have those met, you'll be at some level repelling the people that you most want to attract. It's very subtle. It works on an energy level. It's very subtle. You know, it's not like you're going to be one of those people at the party. It's much subtler than that. But you will be pushing people away from you. So neediness, as we know, has a repellent quality to it. So you want to get your needs identified with that quiz on lifecoach.com. Find out what your needs are. Get them fulfilled. Then the next part of the program is to do something that you love to do, and that's to identify your values. And that's simply what you value, what's of intrinsic worth to you, and what you love to do. So that could be anything like you might love adventure or travel or creating or leading or inspiring. You might value beauty, any sort of thing, all of these things, the things that you would wake up and you could say, if I could do anything or make my life be about this, this is what it would be.
Well, you know, I think that's it's so interesting that you met your husband while you were speaking. A coach told me once, said, Constance, when you are really in your passion and your gift and you're doing that, that is when you're most attractive.
Absolutely.
And
that
I just think it's so because that's when you're walking in all of your power and in all of your greatness, because you're doing what you were created to do. So identifying your core values and then doing that would make you more attractive.
Yes. When people are living their values, they light up, they're full of energy. You can see that they just love what they're doing and are passionate about it. And whether that's molecular biology or, for me, leading and inspiring a room full of people with a live seminar or coaching, whatever it is that lights you up and turns you on will make you very attractive to the opposite sex. So it's a great way. That's why this is a two-part program, because first we get rid of the stuff that's going to be repelling people, and then we add in the things that make you super irresistible and very attractive.
And so you orient your life around your values.
Yep, that's right. You orient your entire life so that you get to live your values and do what you love to do every day. And that might take a little bit of time. It may not be an instantaneous shift. So I recommend people start with a values-based project where you pick, say, one of your values and design a project around that. And it could be a small project. I had one client who had the value for beauty, and she decided that they had a brand-new office building. She decided that she was going to ask human resources and see if she could get permission to plant some flowers and some plants outside the office so that her value for beauty could be expressed, and every day that she'd walk into the office, she would see this beautiful garden that she had helped create. Well, they loved the idea, and they got a whole team of people to do it at the work, and she coordinated the whole thing and got a lot of attention from senior management and got the gardens and the landscaping in, and they all did it together. So it was a fantastic sort of, it ended up being sort of a corporate project that the senior executives got involved in as well. So it was really good profile for her to have done that. She didn't do it to get her career noticed. She did it because of her value for beauty. But the side effect was that people noticed her as well.
Well, you know, in the chat room, I have a question for you, Tulane. One listener writes, I'm very shy, but I am 40 years old and ready to get married. How can I meet a man when I'm very shy?
Go online. My cousins met a man when she was playing cribbage online. And she fell in love with her cribbage, the guy she was playing cribbage with, and they are now happily married. So you may not want to go to match.com or eharmony.com. Maybe you just want to go to cribbage, play a game. What's your game that you play online, and join a club online and see who can meet. I'm a big fan. I've had so many friends, family members, colleagues, clients who've all met people online. And when you're older, it's one of the easiest ways, especially if you're shy because it's in writing. In fact, one of my coaching colleagues met her husband that way, and for 1 year they emailed back and forth before they even met, and then when they met, they got married right away.
Oh, interesting.
So, you know, it's a great way to get to know somebody is by writing and sending emails. In fact, that's how my husband and I, we met briefly in London, but I wasn't sure we'd get married because he wasn't sure he wanted to have children. And I thought, well, I can't waste time at my age with somebody who doesn't want children. But he emailed me, and I emailed him back, and then he emailed me again, and I emailed him back. And quite honestly, if I had not been on Match.com and done some online dating, I don't know if I would have appreciated him, because we emailed about 500 emails back and forth over the pond, and that was our dating, because it was, you know, he did actually fly and come and spend a week with me, and then I flew, and we took a trip together to Egypt, and so we did do some trips, and then we got married, actually. But if we hadn't emailed, I wouldn't have, you know, appreciated it, because he could keep me engaged in an interesting conversation for 500 emails. Where if you go onto Match.com, you'll find out pretty quickly, like 3 emails later, you have nothing to say to this person. You know, okay, they're not for you. 500 emails later, you still want to hear from them and want to open their email with excitement. You're onto something.
That's right. So how long did you date him before you married him to Lane?
Well, I would say it was about, a year and a half.
A year and a half, okay.
Yeah, pretty quick. Well, I had a big time schedule to get on.
Right.
But yeah, it was about a year. We got engaged at Christmas time. Yeah, I would say it was about a year and maybe a year and 3 months that we were. Most of that was online dating.
Well, interesting. So you identify what your needs are, and then you get your needs met, and then you orient your life around your core values, your passion, what you were called to do. And when you do that, you are more attractive, and you will attract to you. Would you say that you attract to you who you are, not what you want?
You'll attract the right partner for you. When you're doing, when you don't need somebody, see, when you need somebody, we've got need and love collapsed as a culture. We think that if I need you, I love you, and it's all the same. In fact, we think that if you don't need somebody, then you don't love them. And actually, it couldn't be further from the truth. You don't need your partner. No, it's definitely, I mean, it used to be, but just a generation ago or two, you did need your man to support you because, you know, women didn't work, and they were the stay-at-home mothers and the whole thing. Well, that's all changed. Now women work, and we don't need men financially to support us. We might like that. We might want that.
Right.
But we don't have to have that anymore. So it's not a requirement anymore in that, you know, necessarily in a relationship. In fact, a lot of women are doing the supporting of the men. So that's changed. So that used to be just one or two generations ago the way it was. You know, we really needed people economically. We needed a man to support us. Well, that's history now.
Okay.
Now, we're still looking for that emotional needing.
Absolutely.
And yet, needs and love are incompatible because, here's the definition, a need is a requirement for you to be your best. You must get your needs fulfilled. Otherwise, you will end up being irritable, cranky, snippy. You'll be less than your best self. It's kind of like if you haven't eaten a meal, you get that sort of cranky.
Oh, right. I know that feeling.
That feeling, yeah. That's pretty much how it is. So if you're not hungry, you haven't skipped a meal, and you still got that sort of irritable, cranky, annoyed, that sort of feeling, like as if you had missed a meal or two. That's what it's like to have our needs unfulfilled. It's a discontent, a rankling discontent.
That's a great word.
Yeah. And so we expect this poor guy to not only know what all our needs are, but fulfill them all for us, which is crazy because we don't even know what our own needs are ourselves. So how, if you can't say right now, my top four needs are bing, bang, bing, boom, how do you expect some poor fellow who doesn't even know what his needs are to figure out what yours are?
Right.
And yet we do.
I have a little saying, if you're a mess and he's a mess, and the two of you all come together without really changing inwardly, you're going to have a big mess. And that's why 50% of all people who get married get divorced, because, Tulane, they're not doing the work that you have in your book that they need to do as far as getting their identifying their needs and getting their needs met.
That's right. Needs-based relationships are destined to fail.
Oh, that's powerful.
Because if you need somebody, it's a requirement to be the best. And if this guy started out being great at cherishing you or appreciating you or whatever it was, then after a while he gets tired of doing it because it's a big burden for one person.
Well, it is.
So he stops doing it, and then you say, well, you're not the guy I married. And he's not. You know, he stopped fulfilling your needs the way he used to. But you're expecting him to be the only one in your life to do that, or her,
mm-hmm.
And because it works both ways. But women have this expectation that the man in their life should do that, should fulfill all their needs without them saying what their needs are and what they want.
Right. I have a friend, and her husband doesn't talk a lot, and so she does exactly what you said in your book. She talks to me and talks to her other girlfriends and sort of gets that communication need met, and when she goes home, she's fulfilled and she feels complete, and he doesn't have to talk that much
and
because she realizes.
Otherwise, she'd drive him crazy.
Right, right. Well, real quickly, share some tips for being simply irresistible. In Chapter 9, you talk about that. What are some tips for people to be simply irresistible?
Well, a couple of things. One of the things I'm a big fan of is to get a massage. If you
okay.
are a single person and looking to get married or in a serious relationship, get a weekly massage, because oftentimes single people don't get enough cuddles, touching.
Okay.
They just don't get enough physical touch, and physical touch is a human need. Everybody
mm-hmm.
has it to a different degree. A weekly massage could fulfill that. I'm not talking about some sexy massage. I'm just talking about a normal, healthy
uh-huh.
Massage, Reiki therapy, whatever you want, foot reflexology. Get a weekly massage. It will fulfill that need to be touched and kind of take that off the burner for you.
Okay,
which will make
good.
You much more attractive. And furthermore, it's just good for your health. And
right.
health. But if you're single, I recommend all single people who are looking for a relationship get a massage every week. Just, you know, find somebody who can do it for you. Work with a student if you're on a budget. You know, find somebody who can do that for you. Barter, exchange, do whatever you have to do, but get that in. That will make a big difference right there, because it will make you very attractive. That sort of level of taking care of yourself as well
right.
is very attractive.
You talked about keeping a gratitude list. Expound on that.
Well, gratitude is an interesting thing. When we start appreciating what we have that's good in our lives, we start to attract more of those good things. And so that's one of the first laws of attraction, is that like attracts like. So if you focus on the good, our human tendency is to focus on the negative things.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do that, you attract more negative stuff to you. So the trick of being grateful is just, you could just write down, I keep a journal, and I recommend that you keep a journal, especially to go through this process, because it's a pretty life-changing process. Keep a journal, and in that you can write down all the things that you're grateful for having happened, all the people you're grateful for, anything that you're grateful for, a beautiful sunset, a lovely glass of wine, whatever it was during that day, just jot that down in your experience of gratitude, and you will find that you start to attract better and better things without working on it, because you're focusing on what you're grateful for already having in your life.
So, Tulane, how long would it take a person to go through this process? Because people say, I want love and I want it now. So how long will it take people to actually go through the process of identifying what their needs? Is there a time frame, a length of time that you would say normally that it takes people?
Well, I'm not going to – people move at very, very different rates and paces depending on where they are in their life.
Mm-hmm.
But just to give you the quick down and dirty, you could take the online emotional index quiz at lifecoach.com in 20 minutes. So in 20 minutes, you would identify your top four needs. That would make you smarter emotionally than 95% of the people on the planet.
That is so true.
Yeah. So in 20 minutes, you could suddenly raise your, you know, people talk about emotional IQ. Well, if you don't know what your top four emotional needs are, how could you say that you have emotional intelligence?
That's true.
And that is such a big missing. To me, I just get annoyed with that. It's like, you can't even talk about emotional intelligence if you don't know what your top four needs are. And yeah, I've never seen one of those books on emotional IQ talk about personal and emotional needs and how to fulfill them. And that is so critical.
It
if
is
you
critical.
Want to attract the best people to you and attract the man or woman of your dreams, you must do this. Otherwise, even if you attract them, it'll be a needs-based relationship and it'll be destined to fail.
And so do you find that people want to do the work or don't want to do the work when it comes to actually getting down and just getting down to the inward parts of their very being to identify, oh, so this is something I need to change. This is what
people don't
want to
do it.
I
people
thought,
definitely don't want to do it. Yeah, no, people don't want to do it. But even if you do nothing other than take the 20-minute quiz, it'll get you at least thinking about what your needs are. And then if you do nothing but just ask somebody who's really safe, like maybe you have a really loving mother or sister or brother or somebody you're really close to, an uncle or an aunt or somebody you're close to, a cousin, that you could ask to do something for you, whether that's to send a card once a week saying how much they appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
Something. Start asking people and working in those boundaries. If you just do those things, it will make a huge difference, even if you start out small.
Right.
But even just being aware of what your needs are can make a difference, because you can start to see how they're running your life, like they were running mine. You don't even know it. Why was I going out with all these guys who weren't available?
Right, because it's really core belief system that you're walking in, and you're just so oblivious that you're even living that and walking that out on a daily basis. And I say either you pay now or you pay later. So, Tulane, I know that you're glad you paid the price. How has your life changed since you've been married and you have two wonderful girls? Are you glad you did the work?
Oh, my gosh, it is so worth it. I mean, the girls, I have two beautiful little girls, absolutely gorgeous, and my husband is a wonderful man. In fact, I would not, if I had met him earlier, before I had done all this work, he would not have been interested in me. I know it, because I would have been too needy for him. And I'm not somebody who's, you know, the kind of person you'd run away from at a party.
Right.
But I had my unmet needs, and ultimately that was driving people away from me. You know, it's repellent. So if you're not aware of that, he is such a fantastic guy, he would not have been interested in me if I hadn't done this work.
Interesting. Well, we have about 10 minutes, my goodness. Talk a little bit about the basic rules of dating, the timeline. Share with our listeners.
Yeah, at the very end of the book I have, because, you know, the funny thing is you can use this stuff for anything, whether you want to attract a relationship or a new job. It all works the same. So although this is billed as a relationship book, the principles work the same for whatever you want to attract. If you want to attract a new sofa, you know, go ahead. You can use the same principles. But the timeline is particularly designed for women who want to have children, because if you're anything like me, you know, 37 years old and still single, you know, for me, and I guess my girlfriend, her gong went off at 35, but for me at about 37, the gong went, and I thought, oh my gosh, I'm 37 years old, I haven't even got a man in sight, and I want to have kids, what am I going to do? So suddenly, it just becomes this huge urgency that I need to find a partner who's going to be an eligible, wonderful, you know, husband and partner in life and friend and soulmate and everything else in a hurry. So ideally, you don't want to do that, so try to do this stuff before you hit 37. You know? Ideally, you don't want to have to wait to the last minute to do that. And in fact, if I had known this stuff earlier, I probably would have met somebody sooner, because I would have identified my whole pattern a bit earlier. So, but if you haven't, don't worry, because at any age, this stuff works. But the timeline is this. If you want to have children, you need to kind of speed up the process with dating. So the first rule of thumb is, this is my old-fashioned rule, is don't sleep with the guy right away.
Absolutely.
So my mom had something, I think it called it the 8-moon rule, and in the book, did we put 7 moons? I can't even remember. But that meant to have 8 separate dates on 8 separate nights with this guy as a minimum before you would sleep with him.
Well, I agree with you. Steve Harvey, who has the number one book in the U.S., I Think Like a Man, Act Like a Lady, he says that there's a 90-day probationary period, that even when you get a job, you know, you're on probation for 90 days, and that women particularly really need to get to know a person before you give yourself to a person. So I agree with that wholeheartedly, Tulane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the thing is, I mean, a lot of times women say, oh, but, you know, everybody's doing it right away and the Sex and the City thing and all that. Like, well, you know, if the guy's the right guy, he will wait until you're ready.
Absolutely.
And it's always up to the woman to put the brakes on.
Right.
It's always going to be the woman's job. The guys usually don't put the brakes on. And you certainly don't want to be pressuring a guy. That's very unattractive. Let a man be a man. Let him make the first moves. I'm a big believer in that one, because there is a whole biological, physiological thing. Men are different than women. We are built differently. Men have more testosterone. Men are the hunters. You know, there is something real that's going on with our biology that's, you know, umpteen zillion years old that we have to acknowledge. So as liberated as I am, I couldn't be more liberated than I am in terms of I own my own business, I'm completely independent. It doesn't matter. The thing is, in dating, a guy needs to be a guy and needs to feel like a man. So
right.
Let him make the moves, and you hold the brakes. So keep the brakes on until at least 8 days, if not your 90-day probationary period. The longer you can wait, probably the better. And then, again, if you have any religions, that values that you don't,
right.
Follow your values, whatever you do. And if he doesn't respect that, then he's not the guy for you.
Mm-hmm.
The next
right.
timeline is the 6 months. If you've been going out for a guy and here's the other thing. If you sleep with a guy, make sure he's exclusive to you.
Right.
This blows my socks off. When women date some guy and he's not dating her exclusively and she sleeps with him, you are in big trouble. So, I mean, to me, this is obvious. If he's not dating you exclusively, if he's dating other women, do not sleep with him under any circumstances.
Absolutely.
That is a recipe for disaster. He won't respect you. You have to call the shots and say, look, hey, bud, I find you very attractive. I know you're interested in a lot of women, but I'm not going to be sleeping with you until you can commit to being serious with me. And I demand complete exclusivity. And that's not just a safety factor for AIDS and diseases and stuff. It's just common sense.
Right.
If you want to have somebody respect you, you can't have them dating other people.
And it's called honoring and valuing yourself.
Right. I mean, how would you feel if you slept with some guy and then you find him out you bump into him at a restaurant with another woman?
Right,
right. If he doesn't have any commitment to you, I'd feel horrible if that happened. You've got to demand exclusivity. Now, if you've been dating this guy and you're sleeping with him and it's been 6 months now you have to decide whether it's forwards or out. So is this a guy that's worth, now you've seen him for 6 months, is he worthy of marriage? Is this somebody you'd want to have a family with, if that's one of your questions, obviously? That's the kind of thing. If you said, no, I actually don't think I'd want to marry him, no, I don't think I'd want to have children with this man, then at 6 months, you need to end it. So I recommend you mark your calendar, because time goes by a lot faster, especially if you're in love, than you realize. And 6 months could flash by, and before you know it, you say, wait a minute, we're having a really good time, but this isn't somebody I could actually marry.
Right, right.
So you need to reevaluate at 6 months, because it happens quickly. Now, if you 6 months, things are going deeper, your relationship's developing, it's getting more intimate, 2 years, mark your 2 years, because at that point, it's either he should be ready to commit to marriage. Again, it depends. I'm assuming this is because you're older along. But at 2 years, either they're able to commit, because after 2 years, you probably know each other well enough
right.
To decide whether to get married or not. Now, if you're 20, this doesn't apply, because you've got lots of time. If you want to spend 4 years with a guy, okay, who cares? But if you're getting up there and you're worried about your reproductive organs, well, move it along. At 2 years, it's up or out.
And, I'm a little old school, but the purpose of dating is to find out whether or not you want to marry or be with this person. And if you're mature, you know what you want after 2 years.
Absolutely.
And
after that is just wasting time.
Right. I've known some women say, well, Constance, I've been in this relationship for 10 years. I'm like, 10 years? And you still aren't married? You're not honoring and value yourself. And like Dr. Field says, you teach people how to treat you. And so when you allow that, that's what will happen to you.
Well, I have no problem with that. But the problem becomes when you want to have children or if you want
right.
to get married. If people just want to live together and hang out, that's great. The problem comes if you want to get married, and have children. So if you want a commitment from your man and you haven't got that, 2 years is enough. Move on. Now, what will happen at that two-year point, if you decide to start packing your bags or he's packing his bags and moving out, at that point, either he'll get the picture and realize he's going to lose you if he doesn't ante up and propose, or it's not like an ultimatum, by the way. You have to do this very calmly and coolly and just say, look, we've been together 2 years. Where is it going? What's next? So you can be a lot more bold. In fact, the older you are, the more bold you can be. When
right.
I was my first little date, when I had 2 seconds alone with my, this is Paul, my husband now, but I was walking him to the train station. So we had a moment of privacy on our chaperone date. We went and had a half a beer together because he had to catch his train. And the first thing I asked him, it was just barely our first date, and I said, well, are you planning on having children at some point in your life? Because the next day I'm going back to New York, I'm thinking,
right.
If he doesn't want children, he was 37 too. If he doesn't know whether he wants children at the age of 37, I can't waste time with him.
I understand it. Waste of your time. That was a were bold, and that was a great question. You were honoring your values and your belief system, and that's what you wanted.
Mm-hmm. So you can ask outrageous questions, you know, and you can completely get away with it because at that age, if that puts them off, well, then, you know, they're old enough to know whether they want that or not. You know, it's not like they're 20 and still trying to figure it out.
Right. Well, you know, I know we've been talking about relationships. We have about 5 minutes, but I want you to share just a little bit about how you've used the law of attraction even to be successful, because your book, Coach Yourself to Success, is an international bestseller. How have you used the law of attraction to bring success to you in your career?
I use it for everything. I use it to attract furniture.
Okay.
I mean, I can pay for any furniture. You can use it for anything. My husband, my agent that helped me get Coach Yourself to Success published. Without her, I don't know if we'd ever gotten published.
Mm-hmm.
And then she found my foreign agent. In fact, we just now are renewing the Spanish rights for they only have it for 7 years, and they have to renew. So, you know, and money just comes in. It's phenomenal. I'm just getting a check, and I've never, you know, had to actually promote the book or do anything in Spain. I speak Spanish, but they've, you know, never actually asked me to do anything there. So it's great. It's like free money. It's like money you don't work for. It just keeps coming in.
Attracting clients.
My whole business, I have a coaching business, and I built the whole thing on attracting clients so that I don't ever have to sell. I never pick up the phone and try to sell somebody on
mm-hmm.
coaching. They just come to me, and I create ways for them to find me. The books are a great way for them to find me. My website at lifecoach.com is a great way for them to find me. So I've created all these ways for people to find me so that they call me. I don't actually call people and say, hey, I want to coach you. They call me. And that's all based on attraction. So my entire business is based on these attraction principles.
Well, that's powerful.
My entire life.
So share with our listeners how they can contact you, your books, your CDs, your website, any special offers that you have, et cetera.
Well, I've got the best ways. You can get my books, Coach Yourself to Success and The Secret Laws of Attraction, at your favorite bookstore or online, so they're still in print. And you can also order them directly from my website, which is at lifecoach.com. And we have a free weekly coaching tip that's available on lifecoach.com. Two free quizzes you can take, including the Emotional Index quiz. So there's loads of free stuff there. Lots of free stuff. So just check out lifecoach.com. There's tons of free gift cards you can send. There's just tons of stuff there. And we're actually going to be revising the site soon. So sign up for the tips, and we'll keep you on track because there's going to be a whole new website with a lot more interactivity and forums and all sorts of stuff coming up soon. So stay in touch with that. And then we have other products. I've got all these audio programs on lifecoach.com, including the Irresistible Attraction, A Way of Life audio program. That's a 55-minute audio program on CD. We've got phone classes I've taken. You can sign up and take a phone class, or you can listen to one that I've already recorded. So that's all online at lifecoach.com. We have an 800 number, 1-888-4-TALANE. That's T-A-L-A-N-E. And, of course, lifecoach.com is the website where you can get the free tips and the free emotional index quiz. So lots of free resources there. Feel free to take advantage of that. You know, we're absolutely thrilled to have you sign up. And, you know, books, the Coach Yourself to Success is my first book. That's 101 coaching tips, and it's just a really good basic that will help you be more successful and help you actually with the laws of attraction. It's a good foundation for that. A lot of those tips will help you just naturally become more attractive without working at it. And then, of course, the Secret Laws of Attraction, whether you're in a relationship, whether you're looking for a relationship, or whether you're married and kind of want to reignite things, that would be a great book for you as well. In fact, even if you want to have a better relationship with your boss, you can use that book.
Okay.
So it's really about relationships in general, not just the love of our life, although that's mostly what people want. But for any relationship that you feel you'd like to be smarter at, this would really help.
Well, Talane, the hour is already gone. Can you believe that?
That went quick.
And you shared with our listeners so much information. I just pray that you enjoy yourself for the remainder of the time that you're going to be in the United States. We got 60 seconds. What quick comment would you like to leave with our listeners really quick, something they can take with them?
If you don't know what your personal and emotional needs are, They can run your life and potentially ruin your life. So find out. Go take that free emotional index quiz at lifecoach.com. Find out your top four personal and emotional needs and then get them fulfilled.
Thank you, Tulane. Thank you for the information. Thank you for your two great books. You've been a great guest. And you guys go to her website and check out all the information that she shared. Well, this is Constance Arnold with Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show. I just want to thank everyone for listening. I want you to take small baby steps toward your desires. And remember, if you truly believe, all things are possible.
Hear, hear.
Okay, Tulane, I think we're off the air, but I'm going to call you right back.
Okay. Do you have my number?
I do.
Okay.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.